Welcome to the Live Abroad Biz podcast. I'm your host, Johanna, and this podcast is all about motivating young people to live their best life abroad. Hi everyone, welcome to episode number 8 of the Live Abroad Biz podcast. Today I'm interviewing Amanda, who is an expat from Montreal, Canada, and Amanda is going to be sharing her story on how she moved to Malaysia for 5 years with her husband. Amanda is a YouTuber and online creator, so make sure to check out her social media links down below in the show notes. Enjoy the episode. Bye. Hi, Amanda. Welcome to my podcast. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Would you mind introducing yourself a little bit, where you're from and where you have lived abroad?
Sure. So I am Amanda, Amanda Muse Online, and I am originally from Montreal in Quebec in Canada. And I've lived in many places, but probably my biggest claim to fame was living in Malaysia. So I lived in Penang, Malaysia for about 4.5 years.
That's awesome. So how did you get to Malaysia? Where did the idea come from?
So that one, my husband is a pilot, and we've often talked about, and we've been together for a really long time, and we've spoken about living overseas, and there was always this dream of, like, his job is one that you can travel with. And so we thought, well, we could go and live abroad at some point. And so when we were living in Vancouver, British Columbia in Canada, Dean, my husband at the time, had been working all over. Like, we met actually, I was a flight attendant for like 3 minutes. And so we met living in Toronto. And I came out of the business and he kept working. So he lived in Taipei in Taiwan and he was in Korea. And so while he was in Korea, an opportunity came up to go to Malaysia. And so we thought about it. And at the time we didn't have children. And I mean, when you're kid free, you just pack a bag and go. So we were not married at the time. And to be honest, perhaps it's controversial, but we made the decision to get married because we were going. I mean, obviously we wanted to get married, but it can be a bit scary when you're moving overseas and you're not the one with the job. And you have a dependent visa. That's a little bit frightening. So, you know, we kind of made some decisions there, like family-wise, and we thought, okay, this is a good idea, and this could be a really great place to start a family. So for my husband, it was a wonderful career opportunity. If you are a pilot or you're in that industry, you know it's all about getting left seat, which is the captain of the ship, you know? And so, yeah, we just decided, you know, this is going to be a really great career move for him. And we'll go for like 2 years and see what happens. And we ended up staying for nearly 5. So it was a really great experience.
Wow, that's awesome. I always wanted to be a flight attendant as well. Like, if I didn't go to a university, I would definitely be a flight attendant because I like the idea of traveling the world and like being independent.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. And especially like, I know there's a lot of women and men who are flight attendants and work in that industry with families. And I think that that has its own unique set of challenges. But when you don't have children yet and you can just, you have that freedom, it was really fun.
So I know you said that you lived abroad in other countries as well. Can you quickly mention in which countries did you live as well? I feel like a lot of people, when they start living abroad, they don't like stick with one country. They keep living abroad in many countries. So
it's true. It's true. So we haven't permanently lived anywhere else. It's only been Canada and Malaysia. But while we were overseas, like I traveled quite a bit. I went to South Africa. We did a lot through Southeast Asia, Singapore, Cambodia, Thailand, Hong Kong. Like went to the Philippines. Like we spent a lot of time, actually when we left. So our children were only 8 months old and like 2.5 years old. And we left Malaysia and did like about a month of travel before we came back to Canada. So we haven't actually been residents of any other country. That said, though, my husband, I swear, on a daily basis, is trying to convince me to move. So we'll see if we end up anywhere else. But for now, we're living in Canada, and it's been really great for my job now, because I think that's kind of how it works in relationships, is you tend to you know, you don't always get what you want all the time. So for my husband, it was amazing for his career to be overseas. And now the roles have reversed and it's amazing for me to be back in Canada. So I envision us staying here for a little while longer for sure.
Mm-hmm. But I can see that you still have like the travel spirit, even with your family. That's so amazing.
Oh, yeah. And even my daughter, it's hilarious. Like she actually, she's seven. And when she meets new people, you know, if I'm within earshot and I can hear her, she introduces herself as, "Hi, my name is Esme and I was born in Malaysia." And it's like, it's such an interesting,
that's so cute.
It's really sweet, you know, like it's part of her story. So mm-hmm. It's been a really interesting experience as a parent as well.
Wow, that's amazing. So how did your preparations look like? I know it's been 5 or more years ago, but mm-hmm. were there things that helped you a lot to transition?
Oh my gosh. It's like, it's so many emotions. I know you yourself, you're living abroad right now, right? Like
yes.
You're far from home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so many emotions tied to that experience. And I'm sure other listeners who've experienced it as well, it's almost hard to go back, hey, and like remember everything because it's like painful, physically painful. But I would say the first time, so Vancouver, BC, if you're looking at on a map to Toronto, for example, it's on the other side of the country. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I did a big move when I was, how old have I been? 20 or something like that, 21. And it was so hard to leave friends and... Oh gosh, and I've been thinking about it. When I was 19, I left Montreal. So I left all my friends again and then moved to Toronto, which wasn't as far away, but it's definitely that feeling of closing a chapter. So now looking back, I think that I'm really glad I didn't let that fear of closing the chapter stop me from the adventure, because I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people get very comfortable in their daily lives and it can seem very overwhelming. Like, where am I going to meet new people? How am I going to, you know, find a dentist? How, you know, like, where's the grocery store? Like, all of these things seem so overwhelming when you've not done that big change before. But I think looking back, it's like, it's actually not that hard. So what, you know, I think in terms of preparing myself, it's more of that emotional preparation, like recognizing that the friends and the family that are around you right now are very, very important. And you will continue to be able to nurture those relationships when you're away. I mean, we have beautiful things like video calling and FaceTime. And you can see people so frequently. I mean, I'm not even that old, but it wasn't that way when I first started, you know, moving around. And I think it's just realizing you really don't need to bring that much stuff with you. Like, you can buy everything in the new place. And kind of getting, again, that emotional element, which is like releasing the word obsession is coming to my mind, but it's not that. It's like that connection with our stuff, our things. They can be replaced. You end up keeping just the few things that have, you know, sentimental value, and you carry on. So I think that, like, looking back, that was a big deal, you know, leaving your group of friends, not realizing you're going to make new ones, and they're going to be amazing. You know, like, there's so much to come. So just do it anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I feel like so many people, even I used to say that, you know, I have my friends here at home. I don't want to leave them. I don't want to end these relationships at home. And I think that I met so many people, so many amazing people abroad. I'm almost like more sad about the people I won't be able to meet than the people that I'm leaving because I'm moving abroad, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so for me, it's like you're going to meet so many amazing people abroad and you're still going to be able to keep the relationship that you have at home. And if they are real friends and true friends, you know that when you come back home to visit your family and your friends, the relationship will be at the same place as when you left.
Absolutely. And I think it's a very valid point what you're saying. It's like, and the people that don't understand that connection and are maybe having some negative feelings about you leaving, those are not your people, you know? And it's okay to close a chapter on a friendship as well and to be like, they are not supporting what your passion is in life. And if your passion is to see the world and travel to new places, the good people will stick around. So I totally agree with you. It's so funny. Hey, you're you're like so ambitious and so much a traveler at heart that it's like, who have I missed out on?
Yeah. So I know that we talked about like emotional baggage and all that, but I'm trying to help more people to move abroad and live their best life abroad. So would you say there were any other obstacles that you had to overcome, like in terms of maybe a cultural difference? Mm-hmm. Because I know it's a very different place.
Sure. Well, for sure, like when I think about each move, so a big thing is, of course, what do you do with all of your stuff, like your actual physical things? I used a bunch of those free sites. Like in Canada, we have something called Kijiji, there's Craigslist, and you know, I sold everything, got rid of all of my things, and then kept just few things with my family that I wanted to, you know, have access mm-hmm. to. Came back. What else? You know, making sure in advance that you double check all the information about visas and like how long are your visas going to be applicable. And I did little things like before I left, I went and got all my, you know, my vaccinations that I required depending on where I was traveling. And I think just do your research, but also keep an optimistic outlook. Like when I moved to Malaysia, I actually had never been before, and not even to visit. So my husband and I, it was kind of whirlwind, but we've been together for 15 years. So, I mean, it seems whirlwind, but we've known each other a long time. But we got married in April. By May, he was in Malaysia. And when you're a pilot, there's a lot of, you go through this ground school. So you're studying for 3 months. And so I didn't want to go during all of that. Like it's not really that fun for me to stick around while he's studying. So I took it upon myself to like, close up the apartment and sell our car and sell everything we own and get our dog to my in-laws and do all of those like little nitty gritty things along the way. You know, things you don't think about, like check in with your bank and make sure that your bank knows that you're traveling so that your credit card doesn't get closed when you're away. And, you know, like those little things. And I just took it. I just thought to myself, you know what? I trust this man. I've married him. Like he's my best friend. He'll do me right. And so when I moved there, it was quite a shock, though, to arrive in a place. And I think the biggest thing, and you may agree with this, is like you feel like everybody's staring at you. Like, you know, and I'm like, why is everyone staring at me? Like, naturally, I'm a 5'8" Caucasian woman. So, you know, in a country where people tend to be a little smaller, like you stick out, right? Mm-hmm. But it felt like, oh my gosh, everyone is looking at me. Well, what I realized later is there is like a cycle that an expat, an expatriate, a foreigner, whatever the term is, goes through, right? It's like the honeymoon phase and you love everything and then mm-hmm. you don't love everything and then you meet new people and it's like this up and down experience. But I know for sure you think everyone's staring at you because you're staring at everyone. You know, like yeah. you're like looking around and a little bit overwhelmed perhaps. And I remember that as a funny experience looking back. It's like, oh yeah, no. I was staring at everyone and they're probably looking at me like, what's this lady looking at? So, gosh.
Yeah, for me, so I've never actually moved to a country that was that different. You know, when you compare Canada to Asia, that's a big difference. So I moved from Europe to the States. Okay. And that's not like that big of a difference. So I definitely like at the beginning, I would notice that, you know, the differences between me and the people here, but then it becomes natural and you get used to it with the time. So yeah.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any expectations? Did you expect to gain anything from this experience?
I definitely, I think by nature, am a very growth mindset person. And so I thought, I don't know what I don't know. And I'm willing to learn new things, to meet new people, to, you know, just add that color to my life. Like I've never been to Southeast Asia, or I had never been ever, not even on a vacation. So even something like, what's it like to live in a really hot place? You know, as a Canadian from Toronto, or not, I'm from Montreal, but living in just outside of Toronto, like it snows what feels like 8 months of the year, you know? And so what's that going to be like living on the equator? So I felt like I was just ready and open for new experiences. That said, though, at that time in my life, I was also very much ready to start a family. And I think what surprised me is it did not happen as quick as I thought it would. And so that surprised me. So I had to sort of, I thought this would happen so much quicker. So now I have to come up with a different plan. So it really forced me to find people, find friends, which, to be quite honest, was actually quite challenging because I wasn't there working. Like, I wasn't a teacher, you know, teaching English. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in any position where I was actually meeting new people. All I was doing was kind of waiting for my husband to get home. And let me just tell you, that is not my personality. So I really, really struggled initially. Like, I felt those blues and I felt them hard. And I really wanted to go home, but I mean, it's a 29-hour flight and travel experience. So that was not an option, you know? Like, so I think I really had it in my mind, and my personality is such that I was like, we're going to make this a good experience, even if it's hard right now. So I, you know, purposely did not go home to Canada very often. In 4.5 years, I think I only came back twice. And that allowed me to really establish roots and feel a connection to where I was. And so I did my research, and I remember sitting on the computer and like Googling, you know, expatriate groups in Malaysia, women's groups, like, how do I find people? Like, I could see them, you know, I could see them walking around, but I was a little bit nervous to just like walk up to a woman. But ultimately I finally just did that. And I remember finding an expatriate group, finding a woman that lived in my building, in my condo, and then literally emailing her. And I lived exactly below her. So my it was so funny. And I was like, hi, I'm your new neighbor. I am lonely. Like, can we be friends? And she was much older than me, but she was so sweet. And she absolutely took me under her wing, and she introduced me to new people. And she had been living overseas for many, many years. So she had, you know, the experience, but also the appreciation of how difficult it can be when you're first arriving. And I think that's the thing. And isn't that just kind of true to all of life? It's like, don't be afraid to reach out and say, hey, like, I have no idea how to meet people and I'm struggling and I just like need to have coffee with a human being, right? Something that it's difficult to talk about this part of it because I don't mean to, I don't know, it can come off a little bit weird, but something I expected and it didn't happen was I expected to become friendly with more local people. But it was a lot harder than I had anticipated because of the financial element. A lot of local people don't live where a lot of the foreigners live because it's very expensive, right? Mm-hmm. The rents are elevated. There's a funny term, it's called like expat tax. Like, they know you've come into the country. And when I say they, that's a loose term, but it's like you've come into the country, you're making good income a lot of the time. And so sometimes things cost a little more for you, you know? And if I was sitting in a Starbucks, you know, the value of the drink I'm drinking is not something perhaps that a local person can afford to have. So you're not going to meet them sitting in a Starbucks. And I wasn't going to school and I wasn't myself working. So I was very, it was interesting. It's almost like a little bit of an isolated experience. And so that's something that surprised me on the surprising side of things, that I didn't walk away with more local friendships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. With every experience that I lived abroad, it was different, like meeting local people and making friends there. It was different. So when I moved to France, I moved there alone, but I met there girls that traveled there through the same program, did the same high school with me. Even though they were not in the same class, I would still meet up with them a lot more because we were from the same country. So it was hard for me to make friends with French people, with local people, because right. I would create this isolation between me and the girl from the same country, you know?
Absolutely. And you see that here, you know, to a certain degree, like, for example, I don't know if you've ever, have you ever been to Toronto?
No, never, no.
Okay, well, I think like a lot of major cities, you know, there's the Portuguese area, there's the Italian area, there's, you know, and so I think that that's a natural thing. Like, we gravitate to what's familiar. And also what's kind of easy, you know, once I had my daughter, because I moved, I think it took me a couple months at least to get pregnant, and then naturally you got to have the baby. But it took me a while. But then once you have a baby, I think like anything, okay, let's find other moms with babies because you understand what I'm going through and you can support me during this experience. But yeah, it's interesting what you say. It's like it can be rather isolating. It's true.
Yeah, and then I think I've learned from it because when I came to the States here 6 months ago, I told myself I'm not going to be replicating my mistake again. So I've intentionally set myself to meet a lot with local people, so to attend local events and to join local groups. So I think with every experience, you're going to learn from your mistakes and find new ways how to do things.
Totally, totally.
What do you think was the biggest thing that you learned or gained from living abroad?
I think for me, it was my personality type. I think like many can be very fearful, like very nervous of trying something new because I can't predict the outcome. Like I don't know how this is going to roll, so I don't really want to do it, you know? And having done this, and at first I went there under the guise of like, I trust my husband and my life partner, and I know that he'll steer me in the right direction. And it was very much like a dependent mindset. However, while I was there, I gained the confidence in myself as a woman. I delivered 2 children. Like I had, you know, I started my family there and I had my babies, and they were, my first child was a traumatic birth experience. And so that was like, when you can recover from these difficult moments in your life, you just gain this level of confidence. Like, oh my God, I did that. And that's amazing. And I'm awesome, you know? And so you go through these experiences. And then I also did like just little moments. Like one time my car, this car that I had, I mean, I would torch that thing to, like, if I could light that thing on fire and walk away, I wish I could have. But the air conditioning never worked. And in a country when you live on the equator, you need your air conditioning, you know. It would occasionally just, like, turn off. I don't know why we kept that car for as long as we did. But I remember one time I was going, I don't know, I had to go downtown for something. And it was so hot and I needed a drink. So I pulled over, I got myself a drink. When I come back out, my car is gone. And I'm like, where's my car? Okay. And I don't know who to call. I have no idea. Well, thankfully, I had a man who drove my husband to and from the airport, because when you're a pilot, you can work a lot of hours and be quite tired. And so to avoid, you know, any car crashes or anything, we had that as a service. And so I call him. I say, Kamal, I have no idea where my car is. And, you know, it's a little bit broken English. And he's laughing. I'm like, this isn't funny. I don't have a car. And now I'm crying, standing downtown because I'm hot. I didn't know I was actually pregnant. So if you know any women who are newly pregnant, your emotions are all over the place, right? And I'm standing there and I'm bawling my eyes out. Women are walking by like, is this crazy tall, like, white lady, is she okay? And I'm just crying and crying. Well, the stupid car had been towed and was sitting in a tow lot, and I ended up having to figure out how to get there. But, like, it's all of these things you're like, I have no idea how I'm going to do it, and then you do it, and you're like, oh, my God. And then I started my business while I was living overseas, and so I am a YouTube creator primarily, and so I started my YouTube channel 7 years ago, and it has now evolved into a job and a career, and I also have my own podcast, and I work with brands, and I'm on Instagram and everything. And so I started a business and it worked, you know. So it's like all of these moments of, oh my God, like I felt I really came into my own as a person, as a woman, and it happened there. So it feels like Penang, Malaysia really imprinted on me. Like When I think about that place, I have such fond memories because it was so many new things that I did. You know, I went to South Africa by myself, and that was an overwhelming thing. You know, like, I don't have that desire necessarily to travel alone. And so I went and I met a friend who's from South Africa. So she was there, and I did that all by myself. And so that was another big thing. So I feel like it was such a happy experience because I had so many firsts and I gained so much confidence in myself. And I don't know that I would have had that, you know, rich of an experience in a city that I was already, you know, born and raised in, because it's nothing, it's not scary, you know? And sometimes you have to do stuff that scares you because you prove to yourself that you can and you're awesome. And I'm just so grateful for that experience.
Yeah, I think that's so awesome that living abroad teaches us life lessons of learning new things and doing things that happen unexpectedly, like your car, you know, being proud. Yeah.
And even just, don't you find like there's gratitude, like even if it's just travel, if you've traveled to a place that has extreme poverty and you're from a place where there's extreme abundance, you know, and I just think, wow. To see something like that with your own two eyes, it changes you forever. And I really encourage people, young people, old people, get on a plane, go see something new. And not everything you see on the news is accurate. You know, like when I was, I mean, I had my children in a predominantly, you know, a Muslim country, and I've never felt so welcome in my whole life. Like, I'd go to restaurants and they would be like, you know, you've got this brand new baby and, you know, I want to eat dinner. And that's really hard to do when you have a brand new baby. And the ladies would say, like, do you want me to hold your baby? And I'm like, sure. So they would, like, hold my baby as my husband and I ate dinner. And it was beautiful and it was safe and it was loving. And, you know, whereby I'd have a parent call me and say, hey, I noticed that there's a riot on the television in Kuala Lumpur. And I'm like, no, I don't know. Maybe it's like five people standing in a street. You know, so it's like, don't, you know what I mean? Like, don't be too swayed by how places are positioned to you, because it may be very different once you arrive and very different in a positive
way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I agree with the element of gratitude. I totally fell in love more with my country now that I'm away. Like, I realized what I'm missing and what I love about it a lot more now that I'm not surrounded by it. So is there anything that you would like to tell to the listeners? Any final piece of advice?
I think that if, you know, if you have a desire to do something, travel, live somewhere else, the thing is life just keeps ticking along. So why not do it? You know, if not now, then when kind of thing. It's like, if your kids are little and you want to go, go, because it's harder when they're older. You know, if you don't have children and you want to go and you think you may have kids overseas, it's so much easier than you think. Like, don't let the fear of something stop you from doing it, because fear is it's a tricky little thing, and it lies to you and it feeds your brain things that's not true, because you're going to go and you're going to have a great time. And here's the thing, if you go and you don't have a great time, you can go home. So it's like, you win-win all around, and you still, you know, you have this experience that will carry you through your life. I mean, even to this day, my father and I, who are very close, he has not had as much travel experience as myself, but there was a short time where he lived in California as a young man, and we're talking like 40 years later, it's still one of his most cherished stories to tell and cherished memories. So I say, go for it, you know?
Wow, that was an amazing piece of advice. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Thank you for coming for my podcast. I had an amazing time talking to you.
You as well. Thank you so much for the invitation. And I wish you all the best and all the success.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you found some of the tips very useful. I think the advice that Amanda gave was so awesome, and especially for those who are traveling for the first time. Definitely don't forget to check out Amanda's YouTube. It will be linked down below in the show notes. And if you didn't already, make sure to sign up for How I Landed a Job Abroad in 5 Different Countries. The link will be down below in the show notes as well. So yeah, have a great day, and you will hear from me in the next episode. Bye!